الحمد لله حمدا موافيا لنعمي مكافيا لمزيدي والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وجنوده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذ قال لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ظنك يا أبا بكر باثنين الله ثالثهما أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Once during the Khilafah of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu an, during the Khilafah of Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu an, some people were having a discussion and they felt that Umar radiallahu an was greater than Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Obviously, the great contributions for Islam that Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu an had done, so they felt that perhaps he is greater than Abu Bakr radiallahu an. When the news came to Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu an that this is the feeling of some people, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu an responds and he says, Wallahi la laylatum min Abi Bakrin khayrum min Ali Umar. Forget me being greater than Abu Bakr radiallahu an. My entire life's actions and the actions of my entire family cannot match one night of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. The entire life of Umar and the family of Umar radiallahu an can't match one night of Umar radiallahu an. In one narration he says that I have this hope and this desire. If only the actions of my entire life can bring me the reward that one night of Abu Bakr radiallahu an earned him. What is that night? That night is the night that Abu Bakr radiallahu an spent in the cave of Thawr with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his journey of Hijrah. This incident of Hijrah and the role that Abu Bakr radiallahu an played during this incident is something very, very amazing. Perhaps we will not be wrong if we say, listen to my words, perhaps we will not be wrong if we say that no person had served any Nabi. No person, no ummati had served any Nabi like the way Abu Bakr radiallahu an and his family served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a very sensitive situation, extremely difficult. There's 100 camels that has been promised for the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Imagine what intense fear. And at that time, in such a situation, for them to travel from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, in those difficult days, it was no ordinary journey. And they had to be the right person to accompany Rasulullah SAW on this journey. Only the best and the best will be chosen for this. The one that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the most amount of confidence, he will be chosen for this journey. So that is why Umar radiallahu an says that my entire life's actions and the actions of my entire family can't match that one night of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. It was something very, very amazing. It was a very important role that Abu Bakr radiallahu an had played. If there were no other virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and if he had rendered no other service, we're saying if he had rendered no other service for Islam, this was enough to make him the greatest person. This was enough to make him the greatest sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission to the sahaba radiallahu anhum to migrate from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara as per the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum comes and asks permission. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Ala rislik, isbir, la ta'jal. Oh Abu Bakr, don't worry. Don't hurry. You take it easy, there's something greater in store for you. A few times he asked, and every time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, don't rush, don't hurry on this journey. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يَجْعَلَ لَكَ صَاحِبًا. Perhaps Allah will arrange a very good companion for you on this journey. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had the desire, I hope that I will be accepted to accompany Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had this desire, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not clearly say anything. So, in this way, days began to pass. Different Sahaba radiallahu anhu were migrating to Medina Munawwara. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not given permission by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to migrate. Then, finally the day came when the kuffar had connived and made a plan to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that night. The instruction came from Allah, immediately leave your home. They were surrounding the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the ayat of Surah Yasin, few ayat, threw that in their eyes. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah blinded all of them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out, he escapes from his home. And where does he go? There was no other place that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be going. He went directly to the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It was the midday heat of Makkah Mukarramah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approaching. Aisha radiallahu anha says, while we were in Makkah Mukarramah, then every morning and every evening the Nabi of Allah would visit us. Imagine what a sahabi. Every morning and every evening, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be at his home. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not come at midday. When we saw him approaching at midday, we knew there's something different that's happening. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is informed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming, he says, may my mother and father be sacrificed on him. There's something very, very important, something very urgent that has made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come during midday, covering himself, perhaps from the heat and also to disguise himself. He comes into the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, take everyone out from here. Obviously it's something very, very secret, very secret. No one must be here. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, innama huwa ahluk. O Nabi of Allah, it's just your family. Who was it? It was Aisha radiallahu anha and Asma radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha was already married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, Asma radiallahu anha. You don't need to worry, you can speak what you need to speak. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I have been instructed by Allah to migrate. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the instruction, he asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, O Jibreel, may yuhajiru ma'i? Who will accompany me on this journey? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam replies, obviously never from his side, from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your companion on this journey will be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Which means the choice of companionship was not the personal choice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's my friend, he will accompany me. No. This instruction came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very, very important point. As we explain, such a sensitive journey, only and only the best will be chosen. Only that person upon whom there is the greatest amount of confidence that he will be able to manage this journey with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this choice came from Allah. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. There are filthy things that are spoken regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, such as, na'udhu billah, he was a hypocrite. And he was waiting for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave this world so he could further his own agenda. If he wanted to further his agenda, this was the ideal moment during this journey for him to get Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assassinated. But Allah chose him, that this is the person who will be able to protect my Nabi on this journey. What confidence Allah had, and Allah has, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, on the sincerity and loyalty of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that no one else was chosen, but he was chosen. And from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that I have been instructed to go, he says, As-sahabata bi-abi anta ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, may my father be sacrificed for you. Can I please accompany you? He was still not confident that I am going to be there. O Nabi of Allah, can I please accompany you? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes. Aisha radiallahu anha says, she was young at that time. She says, never before in my life did I see anyone crying out of happiness. I saw people crying out of sadness, But on this occasion, I see my father crying out of joy, out of ecstasy, that I have been chosen to accompany Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on this journey. My father was crying and he says, O Nabi of Allah, I have these two camels of mine that I have already prepared. Look at this. 4 months before, narration of Sahih Bukhari, for 4 months Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu bought two camels, not one camel. If it was only for himself, he would have bought one. Such was his level of attachment to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He bought two camels and he fed those camels. He fattened those camels. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, the camels are ready. Please accept one from my side. Please accept one. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I will only go on a camel that I pay for. I will pay for it. Oh, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I will only go on that camel that belongs to me. He says, O Nabi of Allah, I'm giving it to you. It's a gift, so it belongs to you. Now when it belongs to you, you can go on it. He says, no, the camel that I will pay for. Now look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. Look at his attachment to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his understanding. He says, O Nabi of Allah, if that makes you happy, then you can pay for it. I don't want to charge you, but if it makes you happy, why? Because your happiness is more important than my happiness. If you accept it for free, it will make me happy. But if you pay for it, it will make you happy. Look at this. May Allah grant us one fraction of this type of jazba and this passion that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to see to the happiness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It will make me happy to pay for it. But if it makes you happy for you to pay for it, O Nabi of Allah, you can pay for it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam purchases this camel from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The scholars of hadith have gone into the discussion. As we explained last week, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spent so much on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not accept the camel from him on this occasion? Why? All the time, last week we ended on that hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every person I have repaid his favor. There is one person that I can't repay his favor, and that is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah will repay the favor on the day of Qiyamah. But here Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam refuses to accept. Why? They say because this journey of Hijrah is such a great journey. Such a great journey that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to spend his own wealth on this journey. That's why he didn't allow Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to pay for it. He paid Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for it so that my wealth must be accepted for this journey. Nevertheless, now the camels are being prepared. A great important lesson for us here. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had that desire. He had that desire to accompany Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not only did he have that desire, together with that, whatever was within his means, he did. He prepared the camel, he bought the camels, he fattened the camels. Whatever he could do, he did. And then what he did, he left it in the hands of Allah. When a person has a good desire, and he does what is within his capability to do, inshallah, Allah will accept it and Allah will allow it to happen. So this is a very important aspect. Many a times we have good aspirations. Have the aspiration. Make dua for it. And do what is within our choice, what is within our control. And leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it doesn't happen, inshallah, we will still be rewarded for it. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is now accompanying Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The transport arrangements have been made. Next thing is provisions. Very, very quickly his two daughters, Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha was the elder daughter, and Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, they prepare some provisions for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now when the parcel is ready, the provisions are ready, the patkos is ready, there was nothing to tie the parcel. So Asma radiallahu anha says to her father, that, oh my father, I have nothing to tie this parcel, the only thing I have is my belt that I use. Perhaps in those days, the way they would dress, they would use a belt, that's part of the dressing. So this is the only thing that I have. Her father says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, that tear that belt. Look at this. Everything was sacrificed for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tear that belt. Oh my daughter, tear that belt. And tie the parcel with that belt. On this occasion, she was given the title of Dhatun Nitaqeen by none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one of two belts. In one narration that appears in Al-Isaba, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to her that Allah will replace you with a belt in Jannat. You sacrificed your belt for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will replace you with a belt in Jannat, which means guarantee of Jannat for Asma radiallahu anha. So now the preparation is made. The food is ready, transport is ready. Very, very quietly they leave. And as they are traveling, traveling to the cave, traveling to the cave of Thor. We had explained in the beginning, Umar radiallahu anhu said, my entire life's actions and the actions of my entire family can't match that one night of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he explained what we are going to explain now. He says when he was walking and traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then sometimes he's walking in front, sometimes he's walking behind. After some time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked up something is not right. Or there's some deliberate reason, or there's some reason, some intention behind this type of behavior of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, Abu Bakr, why is this? Why is this behavior? Sometimes you're walking in the front, sometimes you're walking behind. He says, oh Nabi of Allah, when I think about those that could be chasing you, I get worried that you will be attacked from the back, so I go to the back. And when I think that there could be someone in ambush for you, then I will go to the front. So if you are ambushed, then my life will go first. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, O Abu Bakr, that means you are prepared to sacrifice your life to protect me. He says, yes, O Nabi of Allah. This is the reason why I am behaving in this manner. Then Umar radiallahu anhu continues to explain, when they reach the cave, then he says, O Nabi of Allah, you will wait outside. I am going inside first. Obviously, it's a cave in a mountain. And it wasn't a cave that was frequented by people. They had to go to some place that was very, very concealed. So there could be some scorpions, some snakes, and different types of harmful animals in there. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, I will go in first. He goes in first. He cleans the cave. He comes out. He remembers that there were some holes in that cave. What if there is a harmful animal or there's a harmful creature in those holes? He goes back. He needs to cover those holes. He takes his own clothing, tears it into pieces, and he blocks the holes in the cave. Then there were one or two holes that were left. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu calls Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in, and he takes his own blessed feet, and he places it on those holes, that if there is a scorpion in there, if there's a harmful creature in there, that creature must attack me, but it mustn't attack my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he places his foot in this manner. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam rests his Mubarak head on the lap of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. While Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is stung by a scorpion from inside that hole on his foot. Imagine the pain that he will be going through. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sleeping. The comfort of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes first. This whole journey, this was the main thing, that dominating worry in Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's mind. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be alright. Whatever can happen to me, can happen to my family, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be alright. So, he is stung by that scorpion. He says, I can't move. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sleep will be disturbed. But obviously it was painful. So he begins to tear. When his tears fell on the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wakes up and he sees Abu Bakr crying. Oh Abu Bakr, why are you crying? He says, this is what has happened, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes his Mubarak saliva, applies it to that place, and it was cured. Ulama mentioned that thereafter, later on in the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at the time of his demise, that poison had affected him, because of which that resulted in his demise, and because of which he was also regarded as a shaheed and a martyr, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that person who passes away because of poison or because of being stung, that person is also a martyr. So this was that, and the reason for which Umar radiallahu anhu says that my whole life's actions and the actions of my entire family can't match that one night of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, there were other arrangements. As we explained, the entire family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was involved. One was his daughters prepared the provisions. But that wasn't enough. Asma radiallahu anha, every night, imagine his daughter, there are search parties out for them. There's ransom that has been promised. The Asma radiallahu anha, his daughter goes every night quietly with food. Fresh food every night for the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the food arrangements. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs to drink something. One is we take something for 3 days in the cave. No, I want my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have fresh milk. So because of that, his slave, Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu anhu, was given instructions that every night after grazing the goats, when the shepherds go back, you make as if you are going with the shepherds. But then quietly, when it's dark, You bring your entire herd. Bring the entire herd to the cave so that I can give my Nabi Sallallahu some fresh milk to drink every night. This was the arrangement that was being made. Then his son, Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr radiallahu an. What Abdullah bin Abi Bakr radiallahu an, what does he say to him? He says to him that every day you must just watch and you must observe and you must listen. What's the talk in Makkah Mukarramah? Look at this. Strategy. But all the strategy is for what? All the arrangements just for the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whole day you must be in Makkah as if nothing is going on. And you must just observe and listen. What are the plans that they are making? And then at night, you come to the cave. What fear? But his children are also put in danger just for the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At night, you come to the cave and you spend the night with us and you give us the report for the entire day. These were the arrangements made by Abu Bakr radiallahu an for the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we explained last week, the only thing we can say, Allahumma jzihi anna wa anil islami wal muslimina khair al jaza. Oh Allah, reward him the best of reward on our behalf, on behalf of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on behalf of Islam and the Muslims. This is how Islam came to us. These were the sacrifices of Abu Bakr radiallahu an and his family, the arrangements that they were making. At home, what's happening? They're in the cave. At home, obviously, people are looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They go to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu is there. He says, I don't know where he's gone. The next place they're going to go is to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They know he will be the person with him. They go there. Abu Bakr is not at home radiallahu anhu. Abu Jahl, what a strong, mighty person. He asks, he interrogates the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, small daughter, young daughter, Awasma. Oh Asma, where is your father? She says, I don't know. I'm sure we all are aware of the Angaz syndrome. Who did this Angaz? So I don't know where my father is. Obviously, in protection of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she had to do this. So Abu Jahl slaps the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, Asma radiallahu anha. He slaps her so hard that she says, my earring even fell off. But all of this was done again for the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the father of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Quhafa, comes to his granddaughters. He wasn't yet a Muslim. And he says, has your father left any wealth behind for you? Obviously every grandfather is worried about his grandchildren. Has your father left anything behind? Asma radiallahu anha says, Allah's qasam, my father left nothing behind. Whatever he had, we explained last week, 5,000 he was left with. He took all of that for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He left nothing behind. But I needed to comfort my grandfather. He was the old blind man. So what I did, I took some pebbles. I placed it in one corner of the home. Because pebbles resemble, to a certain extent, they resemble coins. And I placed a sheet over it. And I took my grandfather and I made him feel there. When he felt, he says, all right, he's left some money, then it's okay. But the amazing and important point for us to take from here is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made such tarbiyat of his family. He had taught his daughters in such a manner. He had prepared them in such a manner that not only was he prepared to sacrifice for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even his family was prepared. If the daughters were not prepared and not ready, then this was the ideal opportunity. This was the right time for her to complain. Complain to who? Complain to Dada. Complain to the grandfather that your son is not worried about us. But together with him being on that level, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had prepared his family also. A very, very important lesson for us respected elders and brothers. We may be in the masjid. We may be taking part in programs of deen. We may be going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But have we made an effort on our family for them to support us as well? If we don't make an effort, then we will be going in one direction. Our children will be going in another direction as we see today. So the importance of preparing our families, preparing our children, that they also understand that the most important thing in my life is the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever else it may be, I can sacrifice everything. Everything can be sacrificed, but I can't sacrifice one teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I can't sacrifice one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, Abu Bakr and Umar and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are in the cave, and the search parties are going out. They come right till the opening of the cave. We have heard the incident of Hijrat, how Allah had made arrangements. The spider spun its web and various other arrangements that were made. They come right to the entrance of the cave. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sees the feet of those people that were there looking and searching for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, O Nabi of Allah, if they look down, perhaps the opening was a little lower, the cave was lower, if they just have to look down, they will see us, O Nabi of Allah. And then he goes on to say, look at this. He says, Ama wallah, ma ala nafsi a'il, walakin makhafata an ara fika ma akrah. Allah's qasam, O Nabi of Allah, I'm not worried about myself. The only worry I have is some harm must be caused to you. This was that level of sacrifice in the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that made him Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. No worry about his personal self. My life can go. But O Nabi of Allah, what's going to happen with you if they have to look down? And that occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, O Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka ya Aba Bakrin bithnainillahu thalithuhuma. O Abu Bakr, what can you say? What are you worried about those two? The third of whom is Allah. Allah is with them. When Allah is with them, there is no worry. And this has been explained in the ayat of Quran. Lengthy ayat, we don't have the time to go into the ayat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. When Rasulullah said to his sahib, to his companion, ulama mentioned, there is only one sahabi. Only one sahabi whose being a sahabi has been confirmed by Quran. Quran confirms that he is a sahabi because everyone knows whether they love Abu Bakr or hate Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma. Everyone knows that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that journey. And it was only him that was there. إِذْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. Speaking about who? Speaking about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companion. And because of this, certain ulama like Imam Malik rahimullah has mentioned that if a person denies Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu being a sahabi, he is refuting and denying an ayat of Quran which renders him out of the fold of Islam. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu being a sahabi has been confirmed by Quran. إِذْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Don't grieve about me. Allah is with us. لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Allah is with us. Another important point taken out by the Mufassireen is that every other group of people that Allah has promised that He is with them. Inna Allaha ma'al muhsinin, inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. All these kind of ayat. The Allah's assistance being with them has been restricted, or it has been attached to some conditions. You bring sabr in your life, Allah will be with you. You bring ihsan in your life, Allah will be with you. There is only one group, and this group of two, that Allah says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Allah is with them. Whether he has those qualities or not, he had those qualities par excellence. But there were no conditions, no strings attached to Allah's assistance. No strings attached for Allah's assistance with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Mawlana Idris Kandalvi rahmatullah alayhi in Siratul Mustafa has mentioned 10 points. 10 points of virtue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu just from this one ayat. A very, very interesting read. Alhamdulillah, it has been translated in English as well. We can read this. And respected friends, let us bring this in alive in the lives of our, in our homes. Let us speak about Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Speak about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to our families. Really, respected friends, when our children fall in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they will be attracted to no one in the world. No one will thrill them. No one will attract them, because they will find all the attraction in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this is how Allah how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comforts Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That, oh Abu Bakr, don't worry. Allah is with us. There's other incidents that have taken place, but time is running out. Very quickly now, after spending 3 nights in the cave, on a Monday, they leave the cave and start traveling to Madinah Munawwara. 3 very quick incidents while traveling. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had traveled on that road quite often. So people on that road knew him. So when people would meet him, they would ask him, "Oh, Abu Bakr, who's this person traveling with you? Nabi Salaam hardly traveled or never traveled on that road. So who's this person with you?" He will say, "Hadha rajul yahdini sabil." This man is guiding me. This man is guiding me. Obviously, there were two meanings to this. His meaning was, he's guiding me to Allah. That was the meaning he took. But what they would understand, that he is a guide. And in this way, he protected Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because everyone knew that the Quraysh were looking for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this manner, he protected Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he says, as we were traveling, one day it became very, very hot. I looked for some shade. I found some shade near a rock. I take Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I place him under that shade. And now, that was one thing. Shade for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam so he can rest. The next thing is, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs something to drink, something to eat. So he says, I go to look. And I find a shepherd. I asked him, whose shepherd are you? When he told me who the owner was, who his boss was, I knew the owner. I knew the boss. I had a relationship with him. So I knew he won't mind if I drink his milk. So he says, I say to the shepherd, milk one of your animals and give me the milk. But then he explains to him, first clean the udders. Look at this. Everything he did, no stone unturned. In seeing to the comfort of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most difficult of situation. He says, clean the others first. He cleans the others. Right now, clean your hands. Clean your hands. And then he brings a utensil. The milk is milk into that utensil. And then he comes. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sleeping. He comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By that time when he comes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes open. He presents this fresh milk to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says, listen to these words. He says, فَشَرِبَ حَتَّى رَضِيتُ. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank until I became pleased. Normally we'll say, I drank and I was really satisfied. He says, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank until I became satisfied, I became pleased. Which shows the most important thing in his mind was the comfort and pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was a second incident that had taken place relating to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. A third incident was while they were traveling, the famous incident of Suraqah bin Malik coming and approaching. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sees Suraqah coming, he begins to cry. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, "Oh Abu Bakr, why are you crying?" Again he says, "Ama wallah ma ala nafsi abki." Oh Nabi of Allah, I'm not crying for myself. Walakin abki alayk, I'm crying because of you, because of your safety. In this manner, this difficult journey was undertaken until they come to Madinah Munawwara. Obviously the details are lengthy. But just one more point regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. When they enter Madinah Munawwara, obviously the people of Madinah Munawwara were waiting anxiously for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, he is tired from a long journey. And the people of Madinah will come out to meet him. It will be difficult for him. So, when they came to Madinah Munawwara, most of the people didn't know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the first time that they were seeing him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down. The people felt, many of those that didn't know Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they felt that this is the Nabi of Allah. They came and made salam to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he continued making salam. Why? Not because he wanted to pretend to be the Nabi of Allah, but so that the Nabi of Allah can be comfortable. He has undertaken a lengthy journey. It will be difficult for him to meet so many people. After a few days or the next day, people will come to know who is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the comfort of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam again, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stands and he meets all those people. But then when the rays of the sun became very, very intense and it began to hurt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time, now the comfort of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant that I must take my shawl and cover Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he did that, the people realized that he's not the Nabi of Allah, this is the Nabi of Allah. So this was a summary of this incident of Hijrat and the role that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu played. Again, from the beginning till the end, it was selflessness in seeing to the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there is one lesson that we can take, respected friends, it is this lesson, that we and our families must be prepared to sacrifice everything of ours. Everything of ours for what? For the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, today we sacrifice every sunnat. It's not important, it's a sunnat. It's not important. When we say it's a sunnat, na'uzu billah, what we mean, it's not important, we don't have to do it. It's only a sunnat. No, respected friends, that jazbah and that passion and that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demands that whether that sunnah is small or big, and whether that appeals to us or not, whether it's easy for us or not, that sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be first, the deen of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be first, the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be first, the ways of every other religion, every other nation, can never ever come close to the smallest sunnah of Rasulullah Sallam, whether it's Christmas, whether it's New Year's, it has nothing to do with us. We are not followers of these people. We are the followers of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People generally say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But an ummati says that wherever I may be, I will do as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. May Allah bless us with one small fraction of the love and the passion that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had in serving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the family. Allah bless our families also with that passion, like the passion of the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.